Welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, designed to help CPAs who serve clients interested in non-traditional services. If you're a public accountant looking to drive more value into existing client relationships, then tune in for tips on accelerating your advisory service offerings. Now, here's your host, Jeff Paulo.
On this edition of the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, we connect with Glenn Dunlop of Peerview Data, a firm that many of our clients have been using for several years. Peerview provides easy benchmarking and analytical data that allows CPAs to more deeply engage their key clients. It's a piece of cake. You enter the client's information, you can compare it against their peers in the industry. You can sort by SIC and NICS codes, geography, revenue bands, and really come up with some KPIs that lead to substantive conversations with your clients. Take a listen and learn more about what it takes to accelerate your firm's advisory practice. Well, hello again, everybody. This is Jeff Paulo, and I'm the president of the Engineered Advisory family of companies and your host for the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, a show that works to help CPAs become more advisory-minded in their practices. On today's episode, I'm happy to welcome Glenn Dunlop of Peerview Data. Glenn hails from Indianapolis, Indiana, and has worked with many of our clients over the past years, so we know each other fairly well. And recently, I had the chance to reconnect with him in person at the HABU Accelerator Conference in Dallas. I'm excited to have the time to spend with him today to go a little bit more deeply into what Peerview has going on these days. And with that, Glenn, welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast.
Thanks, Jeff. Excited to be here. Appreciate the invitation.
You know, let's just start with the basics. For somebody who isn't familiar with what Peerview Data does, just talk a little bit about your value proposition and how that fits in with this whole notion of CPAs becoming more advisory-minded with their clients.
Sure. Well, they really sort of started as a brainchild of mine from when I was as a partner in an outsourced accounting firm here in Indianapolis. And I kept saying that somebody needs to do a better job of aggregating data and providing information and resources to CPAs that so they can help their clients and advise their clients. You know, I was sort of frustrated with the other services that were out there because they either had too few companies that they were getting compared against, or the data that was being provided was, you know, too many sort of big buckets, if you will, revenue, COGS, OPEX, net income kind of thing, where you couldn't really make operating decisions off of it. So I kind of, you know, spoke that out loud one too many times, and it became sort of my mission then to build that. And so essentially that's what we've done. We've built an app that provides the ability for CPAs to help their clients to make better decisions by using the financial data that they have. It provides comparative analytics over either months or years, depending on how you've loaded the data in the system. And it shows you how your client's doing, how they're doing against their peers in the same industry, and gives suggestions about how you could help them improve or how they could be doing better.
You know, you understand that we publish both the Rosenberg survey and Inside Public Accounting and their survey every year, so we're familiar with analytics. You know, I think it's safe to say that you kind of do that for all of the CPA firm's clients. And so if I'm in the manufacturing niche, if I'm in the construction niche, I can tap into Peerview Data and really get KPIs for how their peers are doing. And I would imagine that leads to a lot of interesting conversations with the client when you can say, here's how you're doing, here's how the KPIs look for your family of peers. What do you see happening as a result of having that information?
Yeah, it's interesting. And you mentioned manufacturing, and it really depends on what niche you're in as a CPA firm. And you may have several niches or clients that you serve across all sorts of different industries. And so I see this happen a couple different ways. So if you let's say you mentioned a manufacturing client. So let's take that example. So if you have a manufacturing client, you can connect either their QuickBooks Online file, or you can load the trial balance out of Wolters Kluwer, Thomson Reuters, Caseware, or any other app that you're using. So you can load the data into our system. And then it's going to show you then a P&L, a balance sheet, cash flow statements, KFIs, you know, allow you to build a dashboard and forecast and all that sort of stuff. But really, what we see is that CPA firms have a mind about, they know that they want to be better advisors. They know they want to get in front of their clients now, for year-end conversations. They want to have conversations with their clients mid-year. There's just a lot of different times when, when it's not a tax season that they're really trying to get back in front of them. And it turns the conversation around from being something where you'd say, hey, why don't we get together next week and have, let's catch up and see how things are going kind of thing, to, hey, I've run your numbers against the industry and I've got three or four things that I'd really love to talk to you about that could help you improve. And that, nobody turns that conversation down. If they, first of all, my CPA is thinking about me. Second of all, they've got ideas to help me improve and they're proactively reaching out to me. So, it just turns that conversation around from being one where it's sort of a fishing expedition where you hope that you could do something to help your client to being something where you know going into it that you're going to give them something that's of value. So I'd say that's sort of the first level, Jeff, when you're talking about I've got a client and I'm going to put him in there. Let's back that up a step though. And let's say you are in a manufacturing practice and you have, 10 manufacturing clients or 100 or more manufacturing clients. The value of doing something like using an app like ours is you can load those 100 clients into the app. And then you can see from an aggregate level, how are all of our clients doing and how, do we see trends that are happening within the manufacturing space that we may not have been aware of because we were just looking sort of at too small of, the aperture is too tight, so you can back that up a little bit and see, wow, we have 75% of our manufacturing clients are struggling with cash flow or they're struggling with leverage or profitability or whatever that it is. Those numbers jump out at you and then you can start to, as a practice leader, decide, do we have the right products and services? Do we have the right people on these engagements? Are we marketing the kinds of things to them or should we be picking up the phone and selling, directly to them? But it gives you the tools to then know 75 of our clients really need this help. So let's get out in front of them and you can choose the way to do that. And then you think about that. Now you take that step back, another step back and say that across the firm, that as firms are doing that, they can see, well, we didn't realize we had, a niche here. We actually have quite a few clients here. We didn't realize that we thought this industry might be struggling, but look, they're really doing really well. So it can help you also then educate your marketing, your referral sources or, what you go to market with or anybody on the biz dev team and those kinds of things. So it's a tool that starts at that one client, but then can sort of, continue to grow and help the firm as you add more data to the system.
It's interesting. As we do a lot of work with firms, helping them grow their practices. And we recently spent some time working with a top 100 firm and their partners. And over about an 18-month period, we helped them quadruple the assets that they had under management in their financial services practice. But where I'm going with that is, you mentioned something that, hey, this data and this perspective is something that leads to conversations. And we had one of the partners come back in a debrief. And, a lot of our methodology is just getting the CPA to find the time to connect with their best clients. And he was reporting out on what had happened since the previous session. And he came back and goes, it's amazing. Every time I go out and talk to my client, I come back with new business. And we had that made into t-shirts, for the entire class, because it seems so basic. But oftentimes we're hearing I don't know what to talk to my clients about. We're so deeply rooted in that compliance mindset that we use time as an excuse not to have the meeting. But what I really think it is, I'm not sure what we would talk about if we were face to face. And where we've seen a lot of success with PeerView, Glenn, is the clients that we work with conduct a series of what we call major interactions. And this is face to face with a client, but outside the scope of what they're currently engaging you to do. So it's designed to deepen the relationship. And the firms that have access to PeerView data can do exactly what you described. They're going out there with three or four key insights about operationally, here's where we may want to dig in a little bit because we're not seeing you hit the metric that we would expect as we look at the data from your peers. Or maybe you're leading in a particular area and is there a way we can add fuel to that fire? But it's such a conversation starter. And what I've found is how easy it is for a CPA to access the data. So talk a little bit, a client of PeerView, I'm signed up for the program, I'm getting ready to go out and meet with a client. Talk about the process that I have to go through to get something of substance to prepare myself for that meeting.
Yeah. So as we onboard a new firm, we have an onboarding process that first of all says which clients are we loading in the system, where's the data, where will it be coming from, who's responsible for getting the data in. So, you know, if that's one company, if that's, you know, 100, or if it's 1,000, or I think 2,500 is the most that we've got in terms of clients that have loaded in from a single firm. But as we go through that process, Jeff, the approach then is to say, where's the data coming from? And let's get it in the system. So typically from a partner's perspective, that data should already be in there when it's time for them to schedule a meeting with the client. It's going to basically be, you know, open a binder, run a trial balance, no matter what tax or audit app they're using, run a trial balance, save it to Excel, drop it in our app. So for the staff, it's about a 3 to 5 minute process to get the data out of whatever system they're using and into PeerView. Part of our process is the software maps the data. Our team reviews it to make sure it's in the right buckets and the reports are ready for a partner to use. And what those reports will show them will already be those metrics. They can sort it, you know, by any number of years or kind of whatever view they want to look at. But it would then enable them to, you know, sort of, you know, prepare and curate a dashboard as they go out to meet with the client. And curate is just literally just by putting it, revenue growth looks like it's problematic. Let me put a check there. Cost of goods sold materials are out of whack compared to their peers. Check mark there. And just as they put a check mark on the screen, it's curating a dashboard and is ready for them to have that conversation with the client when they go out. So it's a pretty streamlined process to, you know, to get them prepared. It's what they already know how to do. They already know how to look at a set of financials and read that and then go have a conversation with clients.
Yeah, it's certainly a language that they're familiar with, but I'm struck how easy it is to get to the insight. It's not like I have to have a PhD or know how to code in order to kind of get the analysis. It's just, here it is in front of me in a format that I'm familiar with.
Well, and then it turns the insight, as you mentioned, though, that turns that into a language that their client will understand. So let's say they realize that accounts receivable days, you know, their AR is higher than their peers as both the percentage of total assets or the AR day calculation. Well, then they can put a check mark next to AR days on the dashboard that turns that into, says that AR days is 33 days higher than your peers. That represents $1.5 million in excess AR compared to your peers. Well, as a CPA, we understand, or I'm not a CPA, but as an advisor, you understand the what 33 extra AR days means. I mean, there's a lot of room for improvement there, and you can do the math in your head. But when you say to, you know, a business owner, it's 33 extra AR days, they may not understand that. But to say it's, you're letting your customers use an extra $1.5 million of your dollars compared to your peers. Okay, you've got my attention. Hey, so now $1.5 million, they get that. You know, it may be the same thing in terms of debt to equity ratio, or it may be your cost of goods sold materials are 20 points higher than your peers, or, you know, whatever that number is. And let's look at the, you know, ways to improve that, or compensation, or any of those things that would stand out. But it turns it into something that's very meaningful for your client and much easier to explain when they see the charts and the graphs and the, you know, a quick explanation. And I'll say this too, Jeff, one of the things that we've focused on is that we realized that, you know, giving a business owner a 15-page report is not going to be, you know, something they're never going to read, a 15-page report.
Right.
But if you give them something that's sort of a, you know, tweet size, you know, insight that is 140 characters or less or whatever, then it becomes something where, okay, if you can make it meaningful to me in a couple of quick sentences, then that's, you know, you've got my attention. Now tell me what I can do about that. And then we have some insights to say, you know, review your credit collection policies, you know, make sure that you're getting invoices out in a timely fashion, send statements, make the calls, you know, those kinds of things that would be ways to have the conversation with, how can we help you improve the AR days or, you know, materials or whatever those things are. So it's a quick way that both the CPA can see the data and know what they're going to talk about, but it also provides those insights that are in sort of bite-sized chunks for a business owner that then enables the communication to take place in a with the conversation.
Now, you guys have been around for a while now. I mean, you're a known commodity in the profession. You speak all the times at conferences. We had you down at Habu. Yep. That was well received. You know, my guess is you've got a stable of just kind of raving fan clients, but then we also know the accounting profession. There's some folks that just can never seem to get off the dime when it comes to, you know, taking the next step toward a piece of new technology or something that's going to add value into their relationships.
Yep.
So you've got some exciting news, I understand, that might help bridge that gap for some firms that are maybe not wanting to make the financial commitment until they've taken a test drive. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we've just released a free version of our application, and it's, you know, with the intent of getting it in the hands of more firms and more of their users there. You know, I think if you talk to anybody about benchmarking, about comparative analytics, there's been some fits and starts in the marketplace. And so it's kind of, you know, everybody sort of reacts like a jilted lover when you start talking to them about some of this stuff. So you kind of have to help them overcome that with other things. And so, the approach here is that you can connect your client's QBO files or Xero files to our app, and it's going to pull the data in. It's going to pull it in every month, and it's going to provide, as a starting point, the P&L, the balance sheet, and the cash flow statement, and the key financial indicators that would enable you to see, you know, what's happening with this client, and even then determine if a client's interested in meeting with you before you have to start, you know, putting anything on the dime, if you will. So it becomes a way to, you know, get in and start to see the application, see what it provides, have some conversations with your clients, and then go deeper if you want to go deeper with, you know, dashboards and forecasting and industry reports and things like that. You know, then you have the ability to subscribe and start using some things at that level. But it's the approach here too. As a subscriber, you always had to, you know, unlock a client to be able to use it with that client, because we don't do seat licenses. We do it based on the number of clients that you're using it with. So we, you know, this gives all of our current subscribers the ability to see every company that they've put in there too, for all of that data. So it's an incentive for people to put more data in and to use it with more clients, in the sense that, you know, you're going to be able to immediately tell if this is something you're going to be able to use and get out in front of that company and drive those conversations. I mean, it's, you know, once you see that, oh gosh, there's a rich conversation to be had here, then it's a no-brainer for you and for your client.
Now, we're heading into the last 2 months of the year. A lot of firms are, you know, catching their breath after the tax season and doing a little bit of year-end planning, you know, investing some time in the client relationships before everyone goes back underwater, you know, in mid-January. By the time this podcast comes out, we'll be close to the end of the year or maybe into 2023. But for reference, if we wanted to get started with PeerView, like, how much of a ramp up are we talking before, from the time we make the decision to where I'm actually having access to the information that would be interesting to share with my client?
Yeah, you know, we just had a firm that onboarded, you know, just a couple of days ago, that, and it was, they put in 50 clients and they connected and had all of the data uploaded in our app in less than an hour. They were all QBO clients, and so they connected, and it was a rather quick process. So their data was in an hour. The software and our team had everything mapped and turned around for them in 24 hours. So it was, you know, they were using the stuff in some cases same day, and then the rest of the stuff was available for them within the next business day. You know, in terms of time, you know, we typically, once the data's in, we do a training session with the team that will be using the data. So it would be something where, you know, now that your data's in, let's go through and let's talk about some, you know, some scenarios where you would, you know, review this, and let's go talk to a client, and, you know, what are the three or four things you would talk to them about? So we do some training for the team, because, you know, for some people, they're, you know, really great at audit, they're really great at tax, but they've not had the opportunity to do the advisory stuff yet. So this is a great chance to, you know, to train some of the staff and do that as well, to say, you know, hey, these are the, you know, here's how you identify the things that are most important, and here's what you talk about with the client, and kind of do that. And that's my career. I've spent 30 some years doing this. And so, you know, our team has all been built with the idea of helping CPA firms transition into more and more of the client accounting advisory services and be prepared to use it. So, you know, depending on just how quickly you get the data in, and then how quickly we get the team acclimated to the app, which doesn't take long, but then you could be out and using it with a client rather quickly.
And you guys really have a wide swath of different niches that you can drill down into. I mean, you're not a one or two niche outfit. I mean, it'd probably be easier to ask you, is there any area where you feel you're not a great fit? Because I know you cover so many.
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody asked me one time, you know, how many automated pool cover manufacturers do you have in this city? And I'm like, well, how many automated pool cover manufacturers are there in the whole country? I don't know. Maybe there's more than I know. I don't have a pool, so that's not on the top of my list of things that I don't worry about. But I think when you look we organize everything by the NAICS or the North American Industrial Classification System. So when you look at those codes, take construction, for instance, you've got 236, which would be building contractors, and 237, which would be engineering and highway, and then 238 would be specialty trades. You know, those 236 drills down into 2361, 2362, and then it just keeps going. So anytime you're looking at those NAICS codes, I'd say at the three-digit, in most cases four-digit, we've got, you know, tens of, hundreds of, or even thousands of companies at those levels. And then the farther out, the more specific that you get, you know, that it's as you narrow down, then the sample size will get smaller. And you can narrow down by NAICS code, by revenue bands, by region of the country, you know. And then we've got some other things, like in the healthcare space, you can filter by the number of physicians that are in a physician's practice or a dental practice and that kind of thing. So you can need to sort that in a lot of different ways. But yeah, we cover the waterfront. I mean, I think from ag, which would be 1-1, the first, you know, list in there, all the way out to 9-2s, which would be the, you know, the governmental stuff. I mean, we've got, and everywhere, everything in between, we've got, you know, CPA firms that have niches that, you know, maybe it's golf courses and country clubs or restaurants and retail shops or, you know, healthcare, construction, manufacturing, professional services, the likes. I mean, it's across the board. So,
you know, and that's one thing I want to make sure our listeners understand, because we see the value that this provides to the accounting vertical with our Rosenberg and IPA surveys. What you're saying is I can get down to the three or four number level in the codes. So yeah. I can be fairly granular in terms of it's, you know, it's not construction, it's plumbers or, you know, whatever right. the case may be. But then I can also say, hey, give me data from firms that are in this revenue band. So truly I'm looking at my peers, or I can slice it by, hey, give me plumbers in Missouri, where regionally or geographically, I'm also looking at kind of an apples to apples comparison. And so as a tool, you know, give me who they are, give me where they are, give me how big they are. And then compare that against my client, creating kind of a peer set. And, you know, it's amazing how granular you can get in terms of the apples to apples comparison. And I know the accounting firms love that, because they can say, here we are, here are the 10 firms ahead of me, here are the 10 firms below me that are in my region or my state or even my city.
Right.
And, you know, that also have a revenue band that's similar to ours, because, you know, a top 100 firm is a lot different than a $3 million firm. So it's not apples to apples, but you really give your users the ability to be that granular.
Yeah, we certainly try to. And I think the approach there is, you know, if you're, let's say you are a $3 million company, but you want to look at that next band, so you could look at the next band up. So, over 10 million, and start looking at, you know, as we're growing, what might we expect when we go from, you know, 1 to 10 million to, you know, 10 to 25 million or something to that effect. So we can start to see, like, what does overhead do for us? And when we jump to, you know, to $12 million or something like that. So you can also be, you know, if you're aspirational in terms of growth, then you can start looking at those comparisons, because it's literally just a drop of a filter and, you know, rerun the report. The other thing, Jeff, that, a lot of times firms miss in this is that we aggregate your client data too. So the interesting thing there is that a lot of times, you know, somebody might say, well, you know, we're in Illinois, but we're in central Illinois, so we don't really want to be compared to Chicago or St. Louis. You know, right. So how do we, you know, filter that out? And the nice thing that we're doing there is that you've got all of your own client data that's aggregated. So you can see, you could say, well, we've done that, because now we're looking at the 25 construction companies that are in central Illinois and that are not being impacted by Chicago markets or St. Louis markets or anything else from that. So we also give you that view. And that again is kind of an incentive for thinking about how do we take the approach of all of our data, not just one client. And that's, you know, candidly, that started as a weakness of ours. We, in the sense that, you know, when we first launched, you know, you had to have data to give data, right? So we had to, you know, find ways that we can encourage firms to load as many of their things. And that's why we started aggregating all the firm stuff initially and providing some reports there. But then that became a strength for us, because as firms were loading that in, it just, you know, provided a new line of sight and a lot of things that none of our competitors still today don't provide aggregate stuff at that level. So it does provide a unique view then for you to be able to say, you know, yeah, we're seeing this across all of our manufacturing clients, all of our construction clients, all of our healthcare clients, or whatever it is. And that's, you know, firm, it's an interesting thing because it gives the firms confidence, but it gives their clients confidence and in the data. And so it's just it's a benefit across the board.
Glenn, one of the things that's unique, and you mentioned this earlier, is that you charge based on the number of firms that you're profiling as opposed to number of users. So let's take like a baseline firm, like a firm that might be in our wheelhouse at the Growth Partnership. Let's say they've got six partners, and that if we looked at the top 25 clients for each of those six partners, so 150 unique clients, that's probably going to make up at least 50% of the revenue of the firm, probably closer to two-thirds, just in that population. So if I'm not going to do it with them, I'm not going to do it with everybody else. But if I wanted to get started and say have 150 clients available to me that I could do the profile on, what are we looking at for pricing? How does that work?
Yeah. So if they plugged in 150 clients, they may or may not, they may decide to not use the app with all 150 of them. So we would have packages that start at, you know, 20 client report suites for, you know, $200 a month. So it's $10 per client per month. So they could do 20, they could do 50, they could do 150, you know, so they can scale it based on, you know, that, you know, how many clients they actually want to get out and use it with. So, I mean, it could be 200, it could be 500, it could be 1500, depending on what per month, depending on how many clients they want to activate it with. And candidly, Jeff, I mean, this is certainly not a get rich quick approach to this where we say that you have to use it with all 150. But our approach is that if you started with 20, you know, don't sweat the, you know, the decision, start with 20 and use it with 20, get some victories, and then go to 50. If you want to go to 50, there are differing things that you get, different levels of reports. And so there may be some incentives for you to think about, you know, maybe some things you want to use at the higher level, but by and large, it's going to be start small, scale, get some success, and then scale over time with that. So
if I started with 20, $10 per client per month, I'm looking at $200 a month to be able to run reports on 20 clients.
Yeah. So that's $120 per client per year. And if you buy it annually, it's $100 per client. So you get a little bit of a discount if you do the annual rate.
Okay. I mean, that certainly cost shouldn't be an impediment for most firms. And, you know, I love the fact that you can go, you know, kind of on a monthly plan, see how it works. But I really encourage our CPA firm listeners who oftentimes struggle with what am I going to talk to my clients about, which, you know, I don't get that, but we hear it. Here's the opportunity. You know, work with PeerView, run your clients' data against the analytic database, find out where the KPIs are leading and lagging, and go out and have a conversation. And like our t-shirts say, you know, every time I go talk to a client, I end up earning more money. It's amazing how that works.
Yeah, Jeff, I would also say that part of the reason we did it on a monthly basis is that, you know, as a society, we all start to, you know, we're consuming a lot on a monthly basis. But if you think about the client accounting advisory services, outsourced accounting practices, whatever your firms, you know, each of the firms call it, they're probably already in a monthly retainer, a monthly rhythm with their clients. And by connecting QBO or Xero, and we're soon to add a couple more of the, you know, accounting apps like that. But as they connect those apps, then every month our software grabs the data and refreshes it. And that means it's refreshing the dashboard and the reports too. And so one of the reason that a lot of cash practices use this is that, you know, every month it's going to refresh that dashboard. So let's say you do you sit down with a client and you identify that, hey, your material costs are too high, your AR days are too high, and, you know, your debt to equity is too high. And so we identify these are the three things that we're focused on, the three most important things for us. So every month you'll be able to review where are AR days, where's our material costs, how are we doing on debt to equity? And, you know, you're not going to move debt to equity in a month. That's going to be a 6 month, 9 month, 12 month project to pay down debt, to be more profitable, to inject some equity, hold the cash in the business, whatever the combination of things are that you decide to move that. And so it gives you the chance over time to review that with your client. And so, you know, we talk about not knowing what to talk to your clients about, but we hear this on the cash practice side too. Like, you know, we just give them their financial statements. We don't know what else, but there's a lot there. Well, instead of just handing them a set of financial statements, which if they could read those, they wouldn't need you, you know, turn this into insights that you can have that conversation with them every month. So then what we're seeing from that standpoint is the delivery of the financial statements becomes a conversation about their performance and about ways that, you know, that you can help continue to help the clients improve. So there's a lot that we could go off on tangents, Jeff, you know, about, you know, building forecasts and how the app integrates, you know, their historical data. So every month you can lay the forecast or their actuals over the forecast, and it recasts based on the, you know, the current P&L, current balance sheet, and it helps from that really from a CFO or controllership type of perspective to look at where cash is, AR, inventory, all that kind of stuff. And that it just helps improve that. And we have firms now that tell us that they don't ever use Excel with their clients. They're doing everything in our app. They consult with their clients straight in the app. The clients have access to it. They can use it on screen with each other. They save everything in there. And it's just a tool that, you know, really has helped their relationships with their clients.
Fantastic. Anything exciting beyond the free version coming in 2023?
Well, more connectivity. We're going to continue to bring in the connections there. And, you know, we've done some pretty fun things. We've got a lot of clients with specialties in healthcare. So we've done some physician P&L, dental P&L. We've continued to every industry. We continue to refine the financial statements and the metrics that we're showing there. So I think there'll be more and more of that, that, you know, as users will continue to see the benefits from that. But it's, you know, the challenge isn't finding things for us to do. It's just figuring out, you know, how to prioritize and make sure we're getting the right things to folks that need it.
So. Awesome. Well, you're doing a fantastic job. I know the clients that we have that use you rave about the service. I appreciate you taking some time to educate everybody about the product and the opportunity that it represents, and wish you all the best as we wrap up 2022 and into the new year.
Well, thanks, Jeff. Our clients rave about you guys as well, so we're excited to you know, continue to be working with you.
All right, everybody. That's Glenn Dunlap from Peerview Data. And Glenn, last question. If I want to sign up, where do I go? What's the contact protocol?
Yeah, you can go to peerviewdata.com, and there's a page on there that's just the pricing page. It gives you the different plans, and you can sign up right on there, or you can also contact us through the website.
All right, everybody. That's Glenn from Peerview. I really encourage you to check out the website, get yourself a subscription, start having the substantive conversations that are going to lead to additional work. This is a layup, and it's sitting out there for you to take advantage of. Take care, everybody. And there we have it, another episode focused on helping our CPA listeners accelerate their firm's advisory practice. The Advisory Accelerator podcast is sponsored by the Engineered Advisory family of companies, Engineered Tax Services, The Growth Partnership, Able CRM, and Inside Public Accounting. Learn more about how we help CPAs accelerate their advisory practices at engineeredadvisory.com. Until next time, this is Jeff Paulo signing off and wishing you nothing but success as you transition your firm from compliance to advisory.